This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. I love the weather up in the North Island, Barry. I like it much better than when I was down there. Got caught in a snowstorm. Road was closed after we went through it. And then it was bitter cold and rainy. We did have two great days. Oh my goodness. Coming home, the weather up here, even though it might be a little bit cold, nowhere near as cold as down there.
And we were just talking off air and you were telling me that when you picked all these youth players up, how many were there?
We had 41.
And you picked them up in a minivan from the airport.
Yep. Thank you very much to Apex Rental via Tony Quinlivan. It gave us a great rate and we had an 8-seater minivan.
You were telling me that when you picked them up from the airport, it was pretty quiet.
Was quiet. They get in the van, they don't really know everybody else, and it was pretty quiet, and you're trying to ask some questions, and you get, yep, no, yep. And then when you take them back to the airport, oh my God, there's laughing, it's loud, there's questions flying all over the place, they're remembering what was happening over the weekend, and it was very loud, and I was like, right, well, they've obviously made friends, they're comfortable with each other, and they're all having a laugh. It was pretty cool.
And it'll be great. They'll be lifelong friends. And whenever they meet, if they go to Congress or they play in anything and they meet those people somewhere else that they know, it'll be awesome.
We did actually have some people from Tim Pan School, McLean's College, and Grace Wang from Rotorua is actually moving to McLean in a couple of weeks. She already knows people there. That's going to help her a lot. And because they love Bridge, they're going to be a good little unit up there. John Skipper had three billets. Friday night, it was great. They had a little bit of a talk. They were talking about Bridge, and they went up there, went to bed. He drops them back in the morning. First thing everybody does when they walk into the Bridge Club is say, can we play some boards? So you have boards ready for them, and they get there. So this is like 8 o'clock in the morning, waiting for the rest of the crew to arrive at 8:30 because John was opening and closing for us. You have a whole day. Into the evening, and they went home about 10 o'clock. He said, no noise from 10 o'clock, but when they were back at 8 o'clock, can we play some boards? Thank you to New Zealand Bridge. We ran the very first 8B tournament at the youth camp. So we had Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. So while you were at your tournament, Barry, we also had a tournament down in Christchurch Bridge Club, an 8B, and that was won by Alex Meyer and Mackenzie Rhodes.
Tables did you have?
We had 11.
That was good. Yeah.
That was pretty cool. And then Saturday evening, Jack took an extension class. So pulled out the ones that have been playing Bridge for a little bit. And then I had the ones in one of the other rooms. And we were doing an escape the Bridge Club. It's like going to an escape room. And I had figured out these things. Things that went well and things that didn't go well. So what went well was the escape room, but they were breezing through it. They were meant to be 5 minutes to work out this riddle. And then they'd be coming to me in 1 minute. And I was like, that's no good. So I gave them the expert Bridge escape room scenario, and that was just too hard. And they sort of gave up by number four because they didn't have enough Bridge experience to carry them through that. So one of the things is, if I do another junior one, is to make it slightly harder but not expert level. Anyway, some of the kids absolutely loved it because they could work it out. Okay, so I had a busy weekend, hardly any sleep, but guess what? After everybody went home, we dropped everybody to the airport. I actually had a meeting with Tim Schumacher, John Skipper and myself at a cafe. We were just talking about taking the Bridge and Schools program, if we could do something down in Christchurch. So we had a little chin wag for about an hour, and we've got the bones of trying to approach the schools in Christchurch, seeing if we could get some Bridge lessons going for some of these students maybe. And then when I got home, Kelly and I went to the pub.
Of course you did.
I said to her, "Your place is perfect. You walk out of your driveway, three houses up, and the pub is right there." It was perfect. And it was busy
What
with
pub are we
farmers.
talking?
It was called the Baileys. It's an Irish pub. She had pork belly, and I had steak eggs and chips with a beer. It was awesome. Tell me about your weekend.
Well, okay. Well, I was just following the instructions you'd left. So I got there. Well, we had 28 tables actually, but somebody had to withdraw and we ended up with 27 tables. So 27 tables was a pretty good turnout for any tournament. Very strong field and a lot of them, and sponsored by AFT Pharmaceuticals. Amazing sponsorship. They gave the club money towards running it. As well as that, every single player, and that's 27 tables, that's 108 people. They all got a bag full of goodies, different pharmaceutical products. I reckon there was thousands and thousands of dollars worth of product that AFT Pharmaceuticals gave away to everybody. It was pretty amazing. And,
Wow.
so we gave out nearly $2,000 in prize money. And I reckon probably, I don't know, close to 200 A points with all the wins and
Yeah.
overalls and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, the winners were Johnny Davidson and George Masters. Jenna Gibbons and Christine Gibbons led for much of the day, and they won every match, including beating Johnny Davidson and George Masters. But they just failed by like one VP to win it. That was
Oh.
the finishing order. Third was Steve Bowie and Cal Richardson. The best non-open pair were Gadi Ben Tal and Alona Ben Tal, who you know,
Nice.
and they
Yep.
actually finished a very creditable 13th overall. So
Nice.
we had prize money down to the top 10, and they got a prize for the best non-open pair. I think the tournament ran pretty well. We had two directors because of the numbers. We had the two Nicks from Te Ao Mutu, Nick Saunders and Nick Cantillon, and we had a couple of caddies. You know the caddies. One of them was
Scott
Barry,
and
wasn't he?
Barry.
Young,
Scott is
promising
our
from
8-year-old. And his brother Barry, I believe, is 14. Unfortunate name that boy has.
So they got $50 each, but I think they had a great time.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
awesome.
yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought the day went very well.
So were our standby pair needed?
No, they weren't. Our standby pair went home.
When we had a withdrawal, they weren't needed. Is that how it worked?
They were going to be needed until we had somebody pull out. And then
Yeah.
they were going to be needed. We had 27 and a half tables entered. They were going to make it up to 28. But when half a table pulled out, we just ran with 27.
Oh, good. Any appeals? Anything exciting like that happen?
There was something that happened. I don't know what it was, but there was a scoring change in one of the later rounds that affected George
Oh.
and Johnny. I've got a tip.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when
This
to
week's
run.
tip, it's an oldie
Uh-oh.
but
Like
a goodie.
you.
And that is second player play low. It's not always right, but it's very often right. And especially replies when you are declarer. So often I see, particularly our novice players, somebody leads something and they look at the dummy and they stick up a high card from dummy. If they play low, it's quite often worth a trick. If you're in three no trumps and they lead a small card and there's king small and dummy and you've got queen ten small in your hand, if you pull it up the king, you may never get another trick in that suit. The king wins, but then when you play small, you're sitting. But whereas if you play low, having that 10 is really, really important because it doesn't matter what the person on your right puts up. If they put on the jack, you win the queen. Later on, the king will force the ace and your 10 will be a winner. If they don't put up the jack, well, you'll win the 10. And later on, the king will force the ace. You'll always get two tricks. Playing low is worth two tricks. So not always, but more often than not, second player plays low. If they lead a suit that you've got jack and a small one and dummy, and you've got ace 10 and another, if you play low, there is nothing the opponents can do to stop you from getting two tricks in that suit. If they play low, you'll win the 10. If they play high, you'll win the ace. And later on, you'll knock out the other honor and your 10 will be a winner. But if you played the jack and they put the queen on it and you win the ace, all of a sudden, all you've got now is the 10. And if you're sitting under the king, well, then you're not going to get another trick. Second player plays low.
Great tip. All righty.
Is that you at the proud? Where do you think you're going?
On this Saturday,
you can't even give us a beat.
Well, yes, they call him the street.
Okay, there was another tournament in our area as well over the weekend. It was on the Sunday, and it was the Thames Restricted Peers. And they had 10 tables there, and it was won by Kerry McRae and Bill Leach from Auckland and Mount Albert. What was interesting was the director on the day. If I gave you three guesses who the director was, I don't reckon you'd get it.
Thames Bridge Club.
Yep, there was a director that...
Well, I know.
I'll make it easy.
Yep. Mikey Weir.
Oh, my God. How did you get that?
Well, that's his
own
club.
He never directs anything. He hasn't directed a tournament in 24 years.
Really?
He passed his exam. He's a national director, but of course he plays all the time. So he directed the Restricted Peers' first tournament since 2002.
Oh, how cool is that?
So the last tournament he directed was the North Island Peers at the East Coast Bays Bridge Club in 2002. And then the next one was the Thames Restricted on Sunday.
Oh, I wonder if he's now going to be contacted by other bridge clubs.
Well,
hey, Mikey,
you think he might have the bug and he might, yeah, he might do that. So, you know, if you want Michael Weir to direct your bridge tournament, just email us, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com, and we'll send him an avalanche of requests.
He might do our Congress at Labour weekend.
He will thank us for this, I'm sure.
Of course he will. He'll even shout us lunch, I bet. Two people I know that are coming to our Congress, Alan Grant and John Skipper this year. John told me. He's coming up.
Oh, that's good. So Mikey Weir would be he's obviously Platinum Grandmaster, our highest master point holder with something over 10,000, well over 10,000. And here he is directing. I mean, I think it's probably reflects well on Michael that he stepped up and directed, because I think Nick, who directed on Saturday, was going to direct there, but it's quite away from Te Awamutu to Thames and back, and he'd been out there all day. Ooh. So well done, Mikey.
Good on you. Brownie points for him.
E whaiaki nei. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novice, and our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
Hey, Mr. Gin, I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow.
Good morning. It is time for a gin.
Morning, Mariana. Hello, Barry.
Good morning, Ross. I'm sorry I was running late this morning. I know you can't remember it, but I had to go to work.
A traffic jam in Hamilton? I don't believe it, Barry. That's an excuse, not a reason.
Come on. Yeah, look, it's all go in Hamilton. I read something that was the fourth best place to live in New Zealand at the moment.
Whoop, whoop.
Only fourth?
Well, yeah, I don't think Warkworth was in the top three, though.
What
happened over the weekend?
Okay, well, on the weekend, there was quite a few tournaments on. Levin Multigrade was quite an interesting one. That was won by Hans van Bunnik and Michael Hardman. Michael's the intermediate player there. But second, I noticed, was Ali Malloy from Wellington playing with Alan Grant. Now, Ali Malloy is a really, really strong intermediate player on the ranking list. So it was good to see her from Wellington come through in that one. Thames Restricted. You'll be interested in this. That was won by Kerry McRae from Remuera and Bill Leach from Mount Albert. They are both intermediate players, of course. They had a 70%, over 70% in the morning. They were very hard to catch. A memorable result for Sue Dixon and Jane Brown. Now, they are both from Thames, and they are both juniors, and they came fifth overall. Needless to say, they won that heart section of the restricted. Great soups in that club. Wow. Included in the entry fee, you had soup and buns for lunch, and it was about seven different varieties of soup available. Very, very well done.
Hey, Ross, I need a comment here. I heard the director was Michael Weir, the first time he directed a tournament for 24 years. How did he go?
Something like that, yes. He was quite a memorable day. The club was thrilled that Michael, sort of inverted commas, came out of retirement to direct it. No hitches at all, Barry. He was very calm and obviously very competent. And it was lovely to see him mixing, you know, with us. It was good, really nice. The Whangarei Ashbury Heights Intermediate, they had eight tables. That was won by Janica Greenwood and from Whangarei, and Jenny Bayer from Taikaroa. So she travelled quite a way for that. They also had alongside that their Ashbury Heights Junior Tournament, and that was won by Eric Teal and Heather Harmus, both from Whangarei. Down on the South Island, they had 20 tables at the Picton Intermediate, won by Rachel and Michael Holdaway from Ashburton. So they had travelled quite a long way. They averaged over 62% to win that one.
I got a photo of the Ashburton Cup.
Yes, you have. Now, I sent you two photos in the weekend.
I know. I love your Warriors sock.
Yeah. Every time I go to a tournament on game day, I always wear my Warriors sweater. Often I give the old up the was call out.
They're doing amazing. Yeah. This is our year.
Yes, it's our year, finally. So at the Papakura Intermediate, of course, I had my Warriors socks on and my Warriors sweater on. That was the fourth leg of the Alex Baker, Barfoot and Thompson Gin Club League. Now, interesting here. I'll give you the three top results without the club. Okay, first was Gabrielle and Mark Bursich. Second was Peter Thompson and Kevin Kearney's. Kevin Kearney's is junior. Third was Zin Waleed and Sam McNee. All six of those are from the North Shore Club.
Oh my God, I thought you, for one horrible moment there, I thought you were going to say East Coast Bays, but you didn't.
Well, I just have a little... Barry.
But when he said Sam McNee, I was like, that's not East Coast Bays.
But I have to have a little rider in there because Peter Thompson's principal club is East Coast Bay.
Oh, of course.
Oh, here we go.
You had to get it in there somewhere.
You never fail us, Ross.
That was a great tournament. No real stories much at all today, but next week there's a lot on. Alex's got the fifth leg of the Alex Baker Barfoot & Thompson Gin Club circuit, and that's, along with their restricted, they've got a full house there. Wanaka Intermediate has already got the sign up booked out. Fielding Intermediate's on, Matamata Intermediate's on the Sunday, and Victoria have got an intermediate tournament, and they've also got a junior running alongside that. Howick, alongside their intermediate junior tournament, have got a 3A restricted, and not a bad turnout for that, actually. Quite a few intermediate players are actually playing up into that rather than entering the intermediate tournament, I noticed. And the big one this weekend is the Rotorua Swiss 3A. They've got 22 tables already, so that will be a fantastic tournament. And I hear you're not going, Mariana. What's the story?
Oh, my partner, Phil Rebel, went overseas, and now he's got influenza A, which is sweeping the country. We've made a decision not to play.
Congratulations to Phil. Of course, your entry fee is non-refundable. You realise that, Mariana. It's gone. You've lost it now.
Yep, another donation.
Another donation, yeah.
Okay. So, Papakura?
A special mention there to Grant Sharman and Dennis Deer, both from Papakura, who were sixth overall. They were the top junior pair, which sixth overall was a good result. Nice little story. John Tetley came all the way from Christchurch to play with his mother, Val. They got top north-south in the afternoon and were fourth overall. So it was a good day for mothers. The following day, Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin was playing with his mother, Catherine, over at Thames. So mothers were treated, even though it was Father's Day. So. Okay, well, that's all I can donate to your program this weekend. Hopefully I'll have a little bit more gossip next week. So I'll catch you next time.
It sounds like there's plenty of scope for gossip over the weekend, so we'll look forward to that.
Okay, you two, have a great week. Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne, neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week. Light it and
send it out. Send it out now. Alrighty, so let's head back to the youth weekend. 8B tournament, morning and afternoon session. Then we had dinner, and then they went straight into Crazy Bridge, and they loved it. Never heard of it. Have you heard of Crazy Bridge?
No.
Jack came up with all these scenarios. He had to read the slip first and bid accordingly. But we also played Bridge Bingo, which was pretty cool. And out of the whole group, only two got the entire Howl Bingo. It was great. I liked it. So next year, it's North Island.
Where's it going to be?
A few of them said, are we coming to your club in Hamilton? I said, oh, it's actually the logistics. Maybe we could. Oh, I have no idea. But flying into Hamilton is a little bit more expensive than flying to Auckland. But getting them down from Auckland in a timely manner down to here, because the first people came in at 9, the last one came in at 7:30.
I know people aren't going to like it, but probably Auckland is the place to have it, you know, I guess. I don't know what bridge club you'll go to.
That's right.
Auckland Bridge Club is pretty big.
When do they move from their building?
I don't think they'll be moving that early. No, I think they'll be here for a couple of years yet, so you'll be fine. But, and I mean, certainly flying costs into Auckland is quite reasonable, isn't it?
Mm,
I suppose you could have it in Wellington.
They had Wellington last year.
Oh, okay.
So could do.
Really, with these things, to keep the costs down, it really has to be Auckland, Wellington or Christchurch, doesn't it?
That's right.
Mm.
And Christchurch are certainly happy to host it.
To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Hello, Patrick. Welcome, welcome.
Hello.
So we've got a question that Patrick thinks is an easy one this week. Maybe we don't have to pay him as much, Mariana, this week. Okay, so we got an email. And a player at our table made an opening bid. Their left-tone opponent passed, and the opener went to say something and then stopped. No one at the table knew what was wrong. Their partner continued, and they eventually bid on to game. At the end of the round, they confirmed that they had opened in the wrong suit. What could they have done?
Well, they obviously realised before their partner called in response to the opening bid. Because it doesn't matter if the next person, the person from the other side, has made a call or passed one or the other. Because if you've made what was clearly an unintended call, you can be allowed to change it as long as your partner hasn't called yet. The fact that they went to say something and then stopped was a little bit annoying, perhaps, because at that point, if they called the director, then presumably the director would have looked at their hand and seen that they've got, you know, 5 hearts and 1 diamond, and they've opened 1 diamond, and would have allowed them to change it. If it's not as clear like that, if it's a matter of they've opened 1 no trump and they open 1 spade instead. They have 5 card spade suit and the right number of shape for a no trump and the right number of points, then they might not have been allowed to change it, even though they've got 5 spades, because it's got to be clear in the director's mind that it wasn't a change of mind or forgetting the system and then suddenly remembering it. It's got to be clear in the director's mind, oh gosh, they've accidentally done the wrong thing. That's clear. And then they will let them change it, as long as it hasn't gone past their partner. So in the letter, it said the left-hand opponent passed, I think it was, and they went to say something, but stopped. Well, one wonders why they stopped, because if they called the director at that point, that would have been the rule, and they might have been allowed to change it. Now, so let's say this happened and they didn't change it, or they didn't call the director. Well, it's sort of like they've psyched, but not, because if they get a bad result, if they've been to the wrong contract, well, that's their tough luck. But if, for example, opening the wrong suit put someone off leading that suit for no trumps, and this incident got the mistaken bidder a good board, and that can sometimes happen, well, it's clear that they bid the wrong thing by accident. And if you bid the wrong thing by accident, sometimes it can work out well for you. So if they didn't call the director to get it changed and played on, well, they didn't need to tell the opponents at the end of the auction, because the opponents have the right information about what their bidding means, right? It's not like they intended to bid that. So they get the result that they got at the table, which could have been good for either side, depending on what happened. The main thing is, if they call the director when they realise that they made an error, it appears that their partner had not yet called, and so they were in time to change it.
Where does the director draw the line here? What if you'd say you had 5 diamonds, or even 6 diamonds, and 4 clubs, and you'd open 1 club by mistake, but you've actually got 4 clubs? I mean, how will the director view that?
Well,
when you say
there's not a whole guidebook to help the directors here, but that's the idea, is the director has to decide. And it's like, let's say you had 5 diamonds and 4 hearts, and you open 1 heart. Well, I wouldn't be letting them change it, because they might just have missorted 1 card, 1 diamond into the hearts.
Oh, yeah.
If they've got 6 diamonds and 4 clubs in your example, It seems a bit of a reach that they missorted two cards, particularly when they're different colours. So I probably would have allowed that. But once again, just like all other sports, sometimes the directors or umpires or referees have to make a borderline decision. So certainly deciding whether it's clear enough or whether it could have been a mistake or a change of mind, you could get a borderline decision, but because we were only said we haven't got the hand to look at, I can't tell whether it would have been clear enough. But if it was clear enough, they were in time to change it.
Okay. Sounds to me like when it gets to a borderline case, you need a kind director, Mariana. So if you had
The
Patrick,
director
I don't know
shouldn't
how
be
you'd
trying to be
go.
kind to one side or the other. They should be trying to determine, is it clear enough? If they were to get the same thing happen at another table later with different personnel, it shouldn't be that they say, oh, well, I don't like this guy, so I'm not going to let him have it, even though I let the other guy have it. They've got to try and decide it on the case. And don't forget, if you're being kind to one side, you're probably being
Mean to the other
kind to
side.
one side or the other. If it's a close call, if it's a close call and you say no, then you're being kind to their opponents. If it's a close call and you say yes, you're being kind to the person who made the potential misbids. So you're always being kind to somebody, and who it is shouldn't come into it.
There you go, Mariana. They call Patrick the Jacinda of bridge directors. He's
Jacinda of
always
Bridge
kind. He's
Director.
always kind to
No, no one's
somebody.
done that so far, but it doesn't surprise me that Barry's the first to do Okay, thank you very much, Baylor.
Thank you, Patrick.
Okay.
That's all we've got time for this week, folks. If you're out and about playing bridge, have an awesome time, and we'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.